Thank you.
We'd like to do an old-time fiddle tune now. It's called Georgia Railroad.
Ready? Here we go. How's it start?
Now it's called Boatman. Boatman Dance and Boatman Sing. Thank you very much.
Thank
it's been a pleasure to play for you. Thank you.
Another hand for the Newfangled String Band from Gainesville.
It's a privilege always to present our next performer. Oh, he's been coming to the Folk Festival from North Fort Myers since I don't know when, a long, long time, at least 20 years. And we just think that he's a prince of a storyteller. He's 90 years old, going on 91. And it's remarkable to me how very clear his head is, how he remembers dates and peoples and names and events. Let's give a great big welcome to our one and only Frog Smith.
Which one of these do I use? I'm from way down south in the backwoods of Florida. I don't know where the thing bite. But folks, I'm glad to be here today. And after you pass 90, you're glad to be anywhere. But I'll manage to keep my face down smooth enough that people don't know that. And I did that by using a good face cream. That's what kept my face so smooth that people don't believe I'm 90 years old. And the face cream, well, it's You can buy it over the county anywhere. It's called Preparation H. Well, Cousin Thelma told me this morning that a lot of people probably had never heard of the barefoot mailman here. Now, a lot of people will go ahead and read a book and never dream that the writer of that book or that the character of that book is a local character. The barefoot mailman was born just across the river here in the other county over here across the river. His name was James Mitchell Johnson. And because he had such big feet, they called him Acrefoot. Well, they didn't cover quite that much, but they were big enough feet and he had long enough legs that he used to carry the mail 65 miles a day with his mail on one shoulder and his shoes on the other. So that was quite a man, Acrefoot Johnson. And he was also the father of this famous Rattlesnake Johnson, who's been written up all over the world in magazines. Caught more rattlesnakes than anybody else in the country. But anyway, Acrefoot Johnson got the job of carrying the mail. It paid him $26 a month. And he used to carry the mail out of Fort Meade, Florida, carry it from Fort Meade to Fort Ogden, 65 miles a day with the little side runs he had to make. And one time he overtook a man in a buggy. Man offered him a ride, and he said, "No thanks, he said, I'm in a sort of a hurry, I'll go on." And one day somebody heard hammering in the garage behind we'd call it a woodshed back in those days, behind Acrefoot Johnson's house, and he came over to see what it was. Acrefoot was really busy, had a big rocking chair there. He took the rockers off and put leather straps on it to go around his shoulders, and he was making a chair to go on his back. Well, he got this man to get up in the chair, and he took him for a ride down the road and back. But because the post office department would not let him carry a passenger on his back while he was carrying the mail, he quit the post office and went to cutting cross ties and cordwood for the Florida Southern Railroad, which was then building a narrow gauge line out of Punta Gorda, Florida. And so Acrefoot made quite a splash of news along then about showing up at that speed. He could outwalk a horse, and well over 6 feet tall, weighed 250 pounds, and I've been to his home, and I went to see up there to see his son. His son was that famous Rattlesnake Johnson. He took such people as Marjorie Kenan Rawlins and other notable people like that out hunting with him, hunting rattlesnakes. And he sold the snakes to the Planet Sanitariums around here, Serpentariums around here in the country, and Ross Allen up here used to milk those rattlesnakes to get the venom, make a medicine out of. Well, that's still going on, but Ross Allen's been bit a time or two. And one day, somebody brought in a rattlesnake and it killed a snake, and George Inns' boys, outlived 10 miles east of Arcadia. They brought in the snake already dead. So to save the hide, they skinned the snake, and the meat looked so pretty, so Mr. N decided he'd cook some of it. It tasted so good, they ate the whole rattlesnake. Then he went to canning rattlesnake meat. And he finally moved down to Rattlesnake, Florida, but the way he got started into selling the rattlesnake meat, the American Legion was holding a convention in Tampa. He went down there and took a few samples along with him down there and got him to agree to serve it on the convention dinner, and it come up just fine for him. So he started in business, moved down to Tampa Bay down there to a place, and started anew raising rattlesnakes and catching rattlesnakes, and the post office department gave him a post office down there called Rattlesnake, Florida. But after Mr. N got bitten by a rattlesnake and died, I think that broke that up. Well, Acrefoot's been gone for a long time, even... If he was a native son, everybody hated to miss him. He was born in 1853, right over here close to Lake City. I forgot the name of the county now. I can't remember that. But anyway, he made good. Well, now, we've got a lot of other notable characters down here. We got one man buried down here at Fort Myers. He did something that nobody else has ever done, no other cowboy in the movies or anywhere else. He held a wild, kicking, fighting cow in his arms while he chewed his mark in her ear with his teeth. That was Bone Mazel. Met a man this morning, asked me if I'd ever heard of Bone Marzell. I guess I have. He's buried in Joshua Cemetery at Arcadia, Florida. And one time, Bone and Buck King, who later became the president of Arcadia First National Bank, they were out hunting strays with another cowboy, and Buck King decided he'd have a little fun off of Bone. He saw an old tawny bag of bones out there called a cow, and with widespread horns. He just thought he'd see some fun. He said, Bone, said, if you rope that cow and put your mark in her ear, I'll give her to you. But no sooner said than done. He threw his rope and caught the cow. He threw a half a hitch around his saddle horn and started down the rope to the cow with his knife in his teeth. Got about halfway there, the cow bolted. Bone held on to the rope. The horse got away. And so she dragged him into an oak thicket, and it said for some minutes down there that the air was fairly blue above that oak thicket. Bone was swearing, the cow was bawling and fighting. And when he came out, his shirt was in shreds, and his mustache was bloody, including his face. He'd lost his hat, and Buck King and his helper, well, they were having a big laugh at it. Bone says, you can laugh if you want to. He says, I marked her. They says, no, you didn't, because we saw you lose your knife going in. Yeah, but he says, I marked her anyway. He says, if you don't believe it, just drive her out in the open and see. So they hazed the old cow out in the open. Sure enough, he had. He'd chewed his mark in that cow's ear with his teeth. But the crowning misfortune of Bone happened back after he got his own ranch. He had a ranch up there close to Kissimmee, and some black sheep from some northern family came down there and got a job at Bone, but he couldn't stand the malaria and the mosquitoes down there, so he soon died. And so Bone buried him on his ranch there and wrote to his family back up north. Now, maybe I better tell that in the form of a poem that was written by Miss Ruby Carson back in 1900 of Miami. And she wrote the poem. She was a school teacher, like Cousin Thelma used to be. And anyway, the poem goes, up at Kissimmee they tell of old Bone Marzell and the stranger who died on his hands, how he died in dry season, and that was the reason he was buried for a while on Bone's land. He was buried for a while on a palm and pine isle in a swamp under the Florida sun by the cracker who loved him and nursed him and cussed him just before his demise was begun. Just take the news calmly. Bone wrote to the family the deceased had left living back north. I can ship the remains when there comes up some rains and us Pine Island folk can go forth. So provided you ask it, I'll dig up the casket, which was done when the season brought rain, and the water would float, the flat-bottomed boat, and the dead boy could travel again. On the way with the coffin, Bone smiled much too often on the boat and en route to the car. At the station, he said, gimme one fare from Kissimmee to Vermont. Ain't this corpse going far? Thus the money was spent that the family had sent, and a friend said to Bone the next day, so you ship the lad home? Bone said, no, by gum, for I thought it all over this way. As his folks are strangers to all of us rangers, why not give some poor cracker this ride? Why not make all this fuss over some poor cuss who in life hadn't wallowed in pride? So instead of the Yank with his money and his rank, who had been round and seen lots of fun, I just dug up Bill Red and I shipped him instead. Poor Bill never traveled around none. But that didn't wind Bone up. One time up there, Bone got in trouble with the law up there. They had him up in court in Arcadia for stealing a cow. But maybe it's because maybe they thought they wanted to use their new courthouse. They had Bone arrested, and when several of the big ranchers around there who owned big ranches and big herds of cows, they heard they had old Bone Marzell in jail, and they come in to see just what they were going to do with him, see what was going to happen to him. They were all sitting in a circle there on the seats in the courthouse. They led Bone out there in handcuffs, and the judge said to him, said, Mr. Marzell, said, they have you charged with stealing a cow. Said, do you have anything to say for yourself? Bone couldn't talk plain, but he said, yes, sir. Said, it ain't fair. Said, I went pointing those ranchers out. He says, I stole cows to start every one of them men in business. The first one I took for myself, they had me arrested. Well, They tried to bribe the jury, but they couldn't bribe the jury. The jury was going to convict him anyway upstairs up there. They passed up food and whiskey and everything. But the jury had their mind made up, and that the judge was in with them. Well, he gave them a year in the penitentiary. And they had the clerk to write them out a ticket on the train and says, "You're free to go when you get ready." They didn't send a deputy sheriff with him. So everybody knew and everybody trusted him. So Bone decided he might as well get it over and be done with it. So he caught the train out of Arcadia that afternoon, dressed in a new suit, new boots, new Stetson hat, and money in his pocket. I don't know whether he had on clean underwear or not. He's a cowboy. But anyway, he caught the train, went up there, and he looked more like a congressman going to Tallahassee than he did like a prisoner going to the penitentiary. A deputy sheriff met him up there with a car, took him out to the prison, and they led him into a big banquet hall instead of locking him up. But Bone couldn't figure what was coming off him when it led him into this big banquet hall with more food than he'd ever seen in his life. They asked him to make a speech. Well, he got up and did the best he could. Of course, he couldn't talk very plain, but he made out and had a big supper. When he came down then, the warden gave him a full pardon. That was the first time that ever happened, and the first and shortest sentence a man ever served for a year's penitentiary sentence. But he went on back home then, went right back out on the range again. The boys thought one time that they would give him a scare, break him from coming into camp all lit up like a Christmas tree and drunk and raising a fuss with somebody. They let him get to sleep under his blanket after midnight. They piled pine straw and dry grass and dry bushes, cow chips and everything else around him there. And somebody backed off and threw a lighter knot at him then to wake him up. Well, Bone was woke up. They thought they'd have a big laugh over him, but it wasn't so big. Bone just stuck his head out from under the blanket and said, "Well," said, "I'm dead and in hell, just what I expected." And covered his head up and went back to sleep. Well, another time Bone decided to get married. But he never did marry for his lifetime. This time he got discouraged. He met a lady down there on the street and asked her to marry him. Well, she liked his looks, I guess, pretty well because he liked her looks, and she agreed to marry him. So Bone went up to the courthouse. That new courthouse come in again. It was imposing to Bone. But he went in the judge's office, and there was not but two people in the courthouse. There was Miss Mary Crider, the judge's secretary, and Miles Sauls, the tax collector, in the other end of the building. So he went into this office and called for a marriage license. Well, Miss Crider, she got down the blank sheets ready to write the marriage license out. Asked him his age. He said he didn't know. He didn't know how old he was. How long he'd been around there? All my life, he said. Well, where do you live? He said, I live in a cow camp, which moves about, of course. And he said, well, what is the lady's name? I don't know. I just met her a while ago. I said, how old is she? She said, I don't know that either. And he said, where does she live? He said, I don't know. Miss Crowder said, don't you know anything about her? Yeah, he said, I know she ain't no lady. And so, well, then one another time they had a rule in camp. When I wrote this story up in Tampa Tribune, I got an answer next morning. A lady called me on the phone. They had a rule in camp, if anybody complained about the food, well, they'd make him do the cooking. So Bone come in one day, and there was too much salt in the peas. Bone started swearing, but he happened to think then, no, he couldn't swear in the camp, it'd make him be cooked. So he said, boys, they're the best peas I ever ate. So give me some more of them. He ate so many peas, they almost killed him. They gave him a tummy ache. And next morning after that story came out in the Tampa Tribune, a lady called me and told me that her husband, her father was a man who put too much salt in the peas. So he had quite an eventful life, all right. But let's leave him now and go back to moonshining. Cousin Thelma hasn't waved at me yet. I can't hear them in the back of my ears. So we had a moonshiner down there that he came down there on the Florida Southern Railroad to Punta Gorda and had to catch a steamboat from there to Fort Myers. And at that time, the Caloosahatchee River divided Monroe and Manatee County. There wasn't any Lee County. So old Bill came down there and came down to Fort Myers on the steamer. I've forgotten the name of the steamer now, but we forget that. It don't matter anyway. But the first thing he wanted was a drink of water. And they wanted something to put in that water to kind of steep it up a little bit. He wanted a drink of liquor is what he wanted. Well, he asked the first man he met where he could get a drink. Man said, I don't know. He says, I'm looking for a little drink myself. He said, well, let's go together. And they went on. They finally found some moonshine liquor somewhere. But one of them says, up where I come from, said the hogs, we wouldn't give that to the hogs. The other said, yes, and where I come from, the hogs wouldn't drink it either. So Bill Clay says, you come around in about 6 weeks and I'll have something fit to drink. Well, he set up a little whiskey still down there on a creek down below Fort Myers, started making liquor, and being from Kentucky, his moonshine whiskey was so good that men started hanging around his still too much down there. And the women got tired of dragging the men away from his still, so they went to the law about it, asked the law to do something. Well, the law did do something. They sent a committee out there and asked old Bill to move a little further out of town and continue operations. Well, he moved out of town all right, moved out on Orange River. But the place where he had that first still is called Whiskey Creek to this day. It's one of the swankiest subdivisions there is in Fort Myers. And he moved out on the Orange River. That's where he made a big mistake. He started selling liquor to the Indians, and the federal men got him then. They put him and his still and all the liquid evidence they could find on a boat, started for Key West. Well, Key West was the county seat of Monroe County at that time. Well, by the time they got to Key West, what? I don't see it, mister. But by the time they got to Key West, the still and all the liquid evidence had disappeared off of the boat. They had no case, and they had to bring him back. So they brought him back to Fort Myers, and when he stepped off the boat in Fort Myers, the first thing he saw was a brand-new copper still in a crate, and the townspeople had given him that new liquor still because the revenue men got his other. Well, asked him, though, to move, please move across the river and move over into Manatee County. Well, he did. He went up 12 Mile Creek and started making liquor again up there, and the revenue men got him again. But he gave bond to appear at Pine Level, 10 miles west of Arcadia, Florida. And let me move this thing back out of the rain here. That's okay. Well, old Bill Clay, he went on. He gave bond and went up there. When court opened that fall, he was up there on time. Drove a big two-horse wagon up there, pulled by a big yoke oxen through country roads. Got up there and he had a barrel of liquor up there with him. He couldn't sell the whiskey, but he could give it away. So people came around. Everybody come by. He filled his cup with whiskey, and by the time court opened up, everybody felt so good they turned him loose again. Well, he did ask the judge to please give him a deputy sheriff to show him the way home because he's so near blind he's afraid he wouldn't make it alone. Well, about 2 days later, the oxen walked up in Bill's yard with Bill asleep in the wagon. That deputy sheriff, there was a little bit of liquor left in the barrel. The deputy sheriff got in 4 days later, and he had lost his hat and his gun and his coat, and his eyes were bloodshot, so he didn't enjoy that trip whatever. Thank you.
Now, you know, we told you that rain or shine, the show goes on. So a little rain, you never have drowned in a little rain. So just sit steady in the boat, cover up your head, and have fun. This is just a little quick shower.
A little quick flood here.
What's your name?
Herzon from St. Augustine.
Oh, yeah, well, that's
true. Sure, okay. Now, we used to come over here all the time.
guitar player is.
Yeah, he's
but
he's drowned somewhere.
We know where everybody else is.
We fear that he's drowned. I don't know.
So we're just going to play for a while anyway, just for fun. Like we were playing for something else before, right? This is very important, though. I see Kip. Where's Bobby?
There she is.
Okay, now where's John and Kate? Just had a request for Red Wings. John and Kate, make yourselves known, please. Where are you? Give us a wave here. Let John and Kate come to the front. Now, these people came all the way from Colorado just to hear this one song. So you let them hear it.
Some old woman, Lori, in this town has been telling them lies on me. I wish to the Lord that old woman would die and quit telling big old lies on me. Oh, baby, it ain't a lie. Oh, baby, it ain't a lie. Oh, baby, it ain't a lie. Oh, this life I'm living's mighty hard. Well, I've been all around this whole wide world, Lord, I just got back today.
Oh, yes, he did.
Saving all my money, babe, I spent it all on you. What more can a poor boy do? Some old woman, Lori, in this town has been telling them lies on me. I wish to the Lord that a woman would die and quit telling big lies on me.
Sleeping,
I dreamed I held you in my arms. When I woke,
day.
Many a day.
With you I've rambled. It's many a night with you I've spent. I thought I had your love forever. Now I find it's only left.
Don't think you'll convince me. You said about falling in love again, you'd rather be dead. When somebody breaks your heart, you cry your eyes red. There's nothing so hard about this life that you've led.
Well, as far as I can see, there's no reason for goodbye. You're just running scared, and it's something I won't buy. Running scared, and that's something I